The CGSF 90.1 broadcasting live from up on Burnaby Mountain. At CGSF, we air public service announcements for not-for-profit community groups, organizations, and events. And we encourage you to submit a PSA and to please send it by email to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca. Be sure to include the details, like the name and contact information for the organization, date, time, location, and a short description of the event or service. Send your PSA information to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
The exploding global crisis of climate chaos is without doubt disrupting the social, political, and economic structures of global culture. Humanity is poised on a threshold that could be described as a global dark night of the soul. This global crisis is not asking us to simply make things better or invent new ways of living. It's demanding that we surrender to a transformation so radical that we become a new variety of human species. Today, we'll be exploring an effective path forward as we take on the challenge of a new humanity to emerge from these turbulent times with our guest today, Dr. Carolyn Baker. Dr. Carolyn Baker was a psychotherapist in private practice and a college professor of psychology and history. Now, through her webinars, podcasts, live workshops, books, and articles, as well as one-on-one life coaching, Carolyn is touching the lives of thousands to assist them in deeply adapting and becoming resilient in the face of the unprecedented changes confronting humanity. She works closely with Andrew Harvey for the Institute for Sacred Activism. She's the author of Undaunted, Living Fiercely into Climate Meltdown in an Authoritarian World, and co-author with Andrew Harvey of Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism, and the Renewal of the World. Join us for the next hour as we explore sacred activism to help us find inspiration and take action in the face of the daunting challenges to our world. With our guest, Dr. Carolyn Baker, I'm speaking with Carolyn in her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Carolyn, welcome today.
Oh, thank you so much, Justine. It's wonderful to be here with you.
It's grand that we can be together, even though it's virtual, but we can see one another through Zoom.
And it's especially gratifying since you're in Santa Rosa, and I used to live in Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa is very dear to my heart.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I love living here. And you're living in Boulder, Colorado, and that's also an equally wonderful place.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's talk about the sobering data, the multiple crises that we're facing. And maybe I want to start with, it's mentioned in your writings with Andrew that the word catastrophe, you do an etymology of that word catastrophe. because that's where we are right now. I mean, you can see it vividly in Turkey and Syria right now with this terrible, terrible earthquake, and over 40,000 people have died, and the toll, it keeps going up. So tell us, the word catastrophe, what does it mean?
Well, you know, I'm sort of spinning off of my hero, Stephen Jenkinson, who's the author of Die Wise. He also has given this new etymology to the word catastrophe, and I really want to acknowledge him for that. He takes apart the word. It's a Greek word originally, and he divides the syllables, kata and strophe. Kata, the context of that, the meaning of that, had to do with descent, with a going downward, with moving away from the normal and going into a dark place. The syllable strophe implies a kind of weaving together like a web or a net or a ladder. And putting those together implies the descent going downward together and not alone. So catastrophe, yes, we see it in Turkey with the earthquake. I'm a graduate of Michigan State University, and this week there was a mass shooting at my alma mater, the very definition of catastrophe. But as we deal with these realities, we make the descent together. None of us can do this on our own. And I'll be saying more about that as we progress in the interview.
Yes, great. I think of these disasters, I mean, here in Santa Rosa, and I must say that we are recording this in mid-February of 2023. So it gives a context of where we are right now and what we're talking about right now. And in the context of these disasters that we feel, like as I was saying in Santa Rosa, it was wildfires.
Yes.
That's a time when people come together to help one another.
Right.
I mean, it's a natural outpouring, and it went beyond race. It went beyond economic conditions of different neighbors and people. We just all come together in those moments.
Yes.
But this moment in global turbulence, whatever you want to call it, it's more invisible in some ways. I mean, we see these isolated disasters, but put together, we're not seeing the overall picture. And therefore, we're kind of living our lives in isolation from one another. Is that the view that you have?
Oh, absolutely. People have not connected the dots that we are living in a collective descent. It's reminiscent of St. John of the Cross's description of the dark night of the soul, and very reminiscent of Carl Jung's description of an individual and a collective descent into the depths of the psyche. And what we're facing is not a series of problems to be solved, but a predicament that we can only respond to. But people have not seen or let themselves register this overall predicament.
Let's talk about that, the difference between problem and predicament.
Right. So, you know, you have a problem, your garden, you know, isn't producing the way you would like it to, you know, it's kind of a problem. So you know, maybe you add some organic materials to it that make it really bloom and flourish. And then next year, you know, you go, well, I solved that problem, so this year I'm going to do the same thing. And you do the same thing and it works. That's a problem that you can solve. A predicament, which we're now more increasingly calling a polycrisis, is a series of problems connected together in such a way that it's unsolvable. You can't solve a predicament, but you can respond to it. And that is what my work and Andrew's work is about. It's like, how do we respond to this predicament in a way that is going to bring forth the evolution of ourselves and of our entire species. One of the people that I did mention a moment ago was Stephen Jenkinson. And my favorite quote by Stephen Jenkinson is, "We live in a dangerous time. We can either see that as an affliction or as an assignment." So from my perspective, from Andrew's perspective, we are being faced now with a predicament which we're being asked to perceive it as an assignment for our evolution as a species. Doesn't mean that any of us are going to live through this predicament. Some will live longer than others. But what it means is that we find purpose and meaning in it so that we ourselves and the rest of the species can evolve.
Well, I'm thinking that just takes me to the experience that I had, and I know that Andrew talks about his experience in the book of the Dalai Lama about living in the unknowing. As Westerners, you know, we're so rational, we're so dependent on our rational brain that we want to figure out the solutions and we want to go to solutions, and we just don't want, it's very difficult for us to hold not knowing how things are going to turn out.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that I'm pretty sure you're going to ask me about, and everybody asks me in this kind of interview, is what about hope? We may not know, but we have to hope. And I would say, abandon all hope, as Dante said. We're very attached to the Western Christian definition of hope, which is that everything is going to turn out all right. And that's a very modern and frankly childish perspective. For this reason, we're addicted to happy endings and solutions for problems that can't be solved. We tell ourselves that everything has to turn out right, when in fact, what matters in this crisis is not how it turns out, but how we turn up. And we talk about mystical hope in Radical Regeneration, which does not focus on positive outcomes or even a positive feeling. Countless humans have been hopeful in horrific situations, even as they were feeling miserable. One is reminded of Viktor Frankl in Auschwitz and Nelson Mandela in a South African prison. And in these situations or in any other, mystical hope is the capacity to find meaning and purpose, however small or seemingly insignificant in one's experience. In other words, mystical hope is inextricably connected with one's inner world and not external outcome. Mystical hope is a commitment to meeting life as an assignment to be completed rather than obstacle to be removed. So authentic hope is willingly active and steps up to life's challenges as assignments and initiations into the sacred mysteries of human existence. Living from this perspective enables us to deploy active hope and make meaning in almost any situation. And in fact, in facing this crisis, we all need to become sacred activists and do what we're called to do because it's the right thing to do, as the Dalai Lama told you. And that's far more important than the outcome.
I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Carolyn Baker, and she is co-author with Andrew Harvey of Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism, and the Renewal of the World. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, carolynbaker.net. And she spells her name Carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, carolynbaker.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. I'm here with Dr. Carolyn Baker, and she is the author of Undaunted, Living Fiercely into Climate Meltdown in an Authoritarian World, and also co-author with Andrew Harvey of Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism, and the Renewal of the World. And we were just talking about perseverance and letting go of both optimism and pessimism and living in a new kind of way. And I'm reminded, Carolyn, of the biological metaphor of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. So it seems to me right now we're right in that place of when the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and it actually liquefies.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier the initiative, and what we're doing right now is liquefying is our assignment, I think, and descending down collectively together. I know that you and Andrew talk about a collective rite of passage or initiation. So do we need a new kind of initiation now in these times?
Well, we're getting it.
We don't even know it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Initiation or a rite of passage is an archetype of humanity and not just an indigenous practice. Something in us is wired for a rite of passage. Jung said that it was an archetype of the human soul, that it is an archetype. And the fact that very few humans are now able to experience a literal rite of passage that brings us to full spiritual and psychological maturity is one reason for the mess we've created. We believe, Andrew and I, that the Earth, which is a tribe larger than the human tribe, is initiating us through this crisis. And it is like the caterpillar being liquefied in the cocoon in these chaotic times. And so, again, back to Jenkinson's idea of what is my assignment. It is if we are the young person who's been taken out into the wilderness by the elders and confronted with an ordeal. And the ordeal is an integral part of initiation. It's a necessary part of the rite of passage. And through that ordeal and the preparation that the young person has received for that experience, they are compelled to reach down inside themselves and find resources and find their true core of divinity and deepest humanity to allow them to persevere through the ordeal and become a new kind of human being. And so this is what I believe we are experiencing right now. The tragedy for us is that we've had no preparation for this. Nobody has talked to us about rites of passage and how something in us is wired for that. And so it's as if the Earth is giving it to us and saying, okay, here's your ordeal. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Not about it, but with it.
Well, I think the recent pandemic where we all had to go into shelter in place and it was worldwide was a revelation of just what you're talking about nature itself is just saying, hey, wake up here.
Yeah, and that, I think, is going to happen more and more as the permafrost in the Arctic and the Antarctic continue to melt. They're releasing a lot of organisms that are harmful to us. And we can expect to see more pandemics. Right now, we're in an epidemic of violence in this country. Andrew and I were talking about it yesterday, that, every time I go out of the house now, I'm thinking about, okay, how can I be safe if I'm going to Costco, if I'm going to the grocery store? How can I, get out of there as quickly as I can, get what I need to get? And there's a kind of new level of vigilance that we are all feeling around it. And we hear about it constantly. We have had more shootings by now in 2023 than we have days of the year. And so it's very wearing upon us. Even a person who kind of boycotts the news, there's still in the collective unconscious a sense that this is happening. And it's very wearing. It's very tiring. It's wearing, W-E-A-R-I-N-G, and it's wearing us down, in many, many ways. So all of that, all of these, this is the polycrisis, all of these different crises coming together, producing something larger than any one of them could ever produce.
I want to just go back for a moment because I'm recalling a time in my life when, going back to pessimism and optimism, and I participated in a five-year group that we met twice a year at the Fetzer Institute in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And it was with leaders all from all over the world, including Meg Wheatley was one, and many, many elders. And it was led by a couple of people, Avon Madison and Willis Harmon. Both of them have passed on. And I remember Willis giving us the assignment for each of us to go and look at how we view the future and to put out our scenario for the future. And I remember mine was really positive, and I was just refusing to go into any sort of negative outcome of the future. And as we came back together, it was like an initiation for me, because so many people who were with us in that circle looked more completely and with undaunting, as you would say, or without illusion at the future scenario. And it was the first time I ever took in the possibility that we're going to be facing with the kinds of crisis that we are facing right now today. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering about how helpful is that to us to look at it without illusion and to keep doing what is right and good, as we were saying.
Well, that is exactly what our book, Radical Regeneration, is about, is looking at this very clearly. The last thing we need right now are people who claim to be walking a spiritual path, running around saying that this too shall pass, and all of this suffering is temporary and is going to lead to some glorious transformation of human consciousness. Certainly, there's potential for transformation, but the suffering may go on for a very long time. It may wipe out most of the human species, and we don't know the final outcome. We can only work to rebirth our divine humanity as we look at the dark night squarely in the face without trying to ohm and schmoem our way out of it. Because it really does have the potential for transforming us, for transformation and renewal of ourselves and of our planet.
What about physics? Quantum physics is showing us that there is a field that's available to us. Is there anything to that? And can we rely on something bigger than us in this sort of field, not sort of, this creative force that's available to us in some way?
Well, absolutely. And we talk about this in Radical Regeneration. The quantum field is one of infinite possibility. And I highly recommend The Quantum Revolution by author Paul Levy. I don't know if you've had him on the show.
We have had him on the show, yes.
Okay. The Quantum Revolution that he wrote a few years ago is a fantastic book about this. And Andrew and I believe that both versions, the one that talks about the complete destruction and extinction of all checks and balances in culture, systematically undermined and destroyed, as well as the beauty and the transformation and the rebirth, that all of those are possible, that everything depends on how deeply we intend and attend and prepare for and dare to enact a new way of being. So to claim that anyone knows or could know the outcome for certain is absurd. And you have, I believe, Justine, a beautiful definition of God that includes the quantum field. I'd love to hear you talk about that.
Oh, I thank you for bringing that up. It's something I've been working with practically a lifetime. I've always had a spiritual enthusiasm, and I've been looking for the largest definition of God or truth that I can find. And so for the moment, this is my definition of God. God is the quantum field of infinite, attractive, reciprocal, primordial intelligence, a numinous, some might call divine, responsive and dynamic co-creative force of energy in which all life is embedded, including us, a force that exists within everything, enlivens everything, and from which everything is made manifest.
So, that is so beautiful.
Thank you. It's having something to co-create with that's larger than myself, and that's reciprocal, and that is embedded everywhere. And that's where I got this idea from the quote from the physicist Max Planck, who said, you can't get behind consciousness. You know, consciousness is fundamental, more than material reality. And that just blew my socks off when I read that. So is that something that you also adhere to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I said it's beautiful. I really, really resonate with it. Yes. And this is a field of infinite possibility.
Yes. Let's talk about that infinite possibility in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Carolyn Baker. She is co-author with Andrew Harvey of Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism, and the Renewal of the World. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions